In studio is Alderman James Kappelman, 46th Ward. If you have questions for the Alderman, 312-981-7600. You can call or you can text, whatever you'd like to do. Alderman, a belated Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve Dale. Nice being here.
Oh, it's always nice to see you. It's nice to have you in the studio. You're just a warm guy, except you did something recently. So I told you this story. Just you and I were talking, and I said Gene Schulter, alderman back then, 47th Ward, just before he retired, 6 years ago, 8 years ago, somewhere in there. And I should know because, well, you'll all figure out why I should know this. So the alderman said, you've done so much for companion animals for the city of Chicago. I would like to honor you. And honor you with a proclamation or resolution, whatever it's called. And I said, oh, that's so nice. You know, he said, all right, so on this date, and he planned it like a month out. I said, okay, that's wonderful. Well, that day I didn't show up. And they actually at that point in time did some sort of something at City Hall, actually in the council meeting, where he stood up and said, I proclaim, or whatever they did. I don't know. I wasn't there because that was the day my dad died. And I mentioned that to you, and you said, oh, my gosh, that's, did you get the proclamation or resolution or whatever? And I said, no, I still haven't gotten it. And I tried calling the alderman's office, but by then he was gone. As I said, he was about to retire. He did. The new alderman said, I don't know, call City Hall. Well, where do you begin when you call City Hall? I'm like everybody else. So I called City Hall, and they had no idea. So I just kind of let the thing go until I mentioned it to you, and you said, we've got to fix this. And you did.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It should have been fixed a long time ago.
Well, and you said, you went further. You said, "This every dog has its day, so Steve Dale ought to have one too."
Yes.
Tell us about it. And why you did this, which was so nice.
Well, for a couple of reasons. I mean, we both have lost our parents.
Yeah.
And I just have this sense that this is something that would make our parents smile.
Yeah.
And number one. Number two, the amount of work and advocacy you've done for pets is amazing. That proclamation, and I know, I think people have seen it. I mean, it is very, very long, but you've done more for pets than what activists for pets have done in two or three lifetimes.
Oh,
so you're a little bit of an overachiever, but I think I think you're an overachiever because you have such passion for pets. And I you know that I've done a lot of work with hospice.
Yeah.
And when people are, you know, in the process of dying, their pets are a part of their families. And at one point, I even got in trouble for sneaking a pet into a hospital so the pet could say goodbye and the woman could say goodbye to her pet. I think those kinds of stories are important, and we need to keep encouraging more people to be advocates like you are.
You know, Lisa Dent, who will be working afternoons here on WGN Radio, great person and talent. Of course, I love her because she loves companion animals, and she so much gets it. And I was on the radio with her, and she was telling me a story about her own mother was in hospice. And, you know, hospice people know stuff. They just do. And she told me a story about her mom saying, I think she's waiting for someone. She should have passed. Have all the relatives come in? And Lisa said, yes, they have. But she hasn't had the opportunity to say goodbye to her dog. And the hospice worker said, they don't allow dogs here, but they will. I will. Go ahead and get the dog. They brought the dog in. She said goodbye, I guess, in her own way. I don't know if she actually spoke anything. And I think within a day or two, she passed. So
yeah, so pets are really important to people's lives. We really connect with them. And there are even people with Alzheimer's disease. When a pet is in their presence, they just wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why your advocacy is so important. We as a country need to see that. We need to really honor those pets because pets are part of our family. So
well, yeah,
I'm delighted what you do, what you do.
Oh, thank you. You know, you're not just saying this as an alderman. What I do happen to know about you is you're a clinical social worker.
Yes.
So you do have some expertise, actually, in this area. And Yes. Well over 90% of the people who have a pet in America now consider that pet a member of the family. And if that pet is lost, I don't mean lost in that the pet ran away. If the pet dies, it is just like a person in many, many ways. I mean, the grief is real, and the grief can be profound.
Right. A number of years ago, I wrote a book, Asking the Right Questions to Get the Health Care You Need, as a clinical social worker, and I dedicated it not to my spouse, to my dog.
Yeah.
Because my dog has taught me so much about life.
Well, I thank you for that opportunity. It was so nice that I was able to go to City Hall, and that for once, aldermen all agreed, apparently. No one voted against
this. No one did.
Well, that's a first, or it doesn't happen every day in the city of Chicago. Had a nice conversation with Lori Lightfoot about pets and companion animals. However, what we did not talk about, because it was not appropriate at that point in time, for me to ask her about crime in the city. And I'm curious about, okay, your take on that, because it's a problem. You'd agree with that, I suppose.
I would definitely agree with that. It was interesting. When I ran for re-election in 2015, it was all about addressing crime. In 2019, a lot of voters went 180 degrees and said, it's not about crime. It's, you know, let's defund the police. And now it's turning 180 degrees again.
People, well, because there is so much crime.
Yes.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that. And I also want to talk about what you think of the mayor's fairly new restrictions that go into effect right after the first of the year regarding restaurants, health clubs, and other places where you do have to show proof of vaccination. James Kappelman is here, Alderman 46th Ward. I don't know why I almost said Dr. James Kappelman, but you are a clinical social worker. So.
I'm a clinical social worker. Yeah. I have an honorary doctorate degree.
Do you really?
I do.
I must have known that somehow.
Yeah. And also a reverend. So I tease Richard. He has to call me the Honorable Reverend Dr. Kappelman.
Richard would be your husband that you're talking about. I want to talk about crime and some other things, and I'm sure you all do too. 312-981-7200. You can text or you can call. I'll start with where I began here, with crime. I mean, I know people that are afraid to come downtown. I know people that won't take public transportation, particularly the red line or the green line or the blue line or the pink line or the purple line. I think I've got them all. Brown line, now I've got them all, for that very same reason. And also concerned about public safety in other ways on the trains, because people don't always wear masks, etc. What's being done about this? I know the mayor just spoke out about it and said, okay, we want to prosecute these people. We're going to be more serious. Well, why wasn't she serious a year ago, first of all? And secondly, does she even have the power to do that? That's not up to her.
Well, she doesn't have the power to address sentencing and what judges do, and aldermen don't either. But this is an extraordinarily complex problem that is intensified by COVID, I think. So I think that plays into it. This is happening all over the country. And
I'm interrupting you just for a moment because I think that's an important point. So we tend to, understandably, focus on Chicago because we live here, but it is happening about everywhere.
Right. It'd be good for a sociologist to look at all the different dynamics. Because there are a multitude of causes for what we're seeing, there will be a multitude of interventions. And some of those interventions will be short-term and some of them are long-term. And so what the mayor is doing, and I do applaud her for this, is she is really making sure that we look at short-term and long-term solutions. The problem is those long-term solutions don't produce quick results, and people are rightly frustrated.
Well,
and so is she.
Yeah, well maybe, but it, you know, we're concerned for our safety. The buck does stop with her, so
yes,
while
it
I
does.
Understand she doesn't sentence and all that, and she isn't our Cook County attorney as well, who I on the radio have said at times it feels like she's a Cook County defender rather than state's attorney or prosecutor. She's supposed to be a prosecutor, not a defender. But the folks that are doing the bad stuff are out the same day, out without bail very often. The mayor said she's going to end that. Can she?
Well, part of the complication was COVID. And so a lot of people were released from Cook County jail due to COVID. And it did give a message to a number of repeat offenders that there's not much consequence. And that's unfortunate. The other part of it
more
is...
More than unfortunate. I mean, it's a tragedy, I think. I mean, well, really, if someone in your family dies as a result, it's more than a bit just unfortunate.
Well, the other piece to this is that we have people with a history of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of arrests. I was attacked in, I think, 2013... by a woman who had had 397 prior arrests.
Well, that's my point. That shouldn't happen.
No, it shouldn't happen. And part of the reason was that for that, it was that she was never once offered any drug treatment. And after her arrest from attacking me, she was at last. And this was working, you know, with the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. They worked really hard to get her the treatment that she needed, and it has worked. The problem is that approach that we spent for this particular woman was extraordinarily costly. But I think if we're really going to address some of this activity that happens over and over again, we're going to have to start looking at some of the underlying issues of why they keep doing it.
But if you're 16 years old and you've got nothing else to do, or 14 years old.
12, 11.
There you go. You know exactly where I'm going. You don't even have a driver's license yet. You have a gun. And you're taking
a gun.
Yeah, and you're taking someone's car. They're out. And if they're not out really soon, they don't serve jail time because...
You can't.
Uh-huh. Their parents, first of all, how do they not know where their kids are? But above and beyond that... They're not responsible somehow. I don't know how, but the judges, our system doesn't hold the parents responsible.
So that was another part of the issue, is that when an 11-year-old is arrested with a gun and is carjacking a car, I can promise you the issue is not with that child. The issue is with the family. And that comes not from
sure.
an alderman. It comes from me being a licensed clinical social worker who's worked with families. And so we need interventions for the family.
But that's not happening.
It is not happening in the way it should be. So one of the things that has started, and Mayor Lightfoot led the charge on this, was that every child that's born in, I think there's around four different hospitals, south and west side of the city, every child that's born is visited in the home by a nurse practitioner. That nurse practitioner goes into the home and, you know, looks around and looks to see how the family's coping and identifies red flags for services that this mom and her family need. And I think, but that's a long-term solution.
Right. So how do we stop these carjackings now, today?
So it's going to be a combination of things. One thing that we're using in the law enforcement side is technology. So we are now equipping a lot of police cars and city vehicles with license plate readers. So they can go 30 miles an hour along a street and immediately identify a car that's been stolen. And then I know the process they use. I'm not going to say on the radio.
No.
But they have a process they use to arrest that offender. And that is new technology that's been out just in the last couple of years.
Okay, so they arrest the offender, and this has to be more than frustrating. I know it's more than frustrating for the police. Same thing. Offender is right back out.
Yes.
Well, would you be a police officer if that were the case? I mean, you're doing your job, and bam, they're right back out. And they're doing it again tomorrow.
Yes, and that is what's frustrating the public, and they are right to be frustrated. It's also frustrating the mayor. It's frustrating me.
Well, somebody's got to do something about it rather than say we're frustrated.
So what I am doing is having ongoing discussions with the mayor's office, is identifying what are some of the interventions that actually produce outcomes where that type of behavior is lessening. And focus on that. So there's one thought that, you know, putting them in jail more for a longer time works. And you know what? That may work for some people, but that doesn't work for others. So,
well, why wouldn't it work? If they're not out on the street, they're not. Yes, taxpayer money goes to pay for them in jail. But if they're not out on the street, they can't carjack again or do whatever they did.
But we can't keep the laws state how long we can keep them in jail, and so they have to be released. And our problem is our system for incarceration is we're focused more on punishment than we are on rehabilitating them.
True enough.
We need to address what are the underlying reasons why they keep stealing cars.
I want to talk about COVID. So you go into, and we'll have a doctor on later in the program to talk about it, a doctor right there in the trenches from Northwestern Hospital. But now you're going to have to show after the third of the year, I think is the official date, you're going to have to show proof of vaccination. Restaurateurs that I've spoken to, no official poll, are actually happy about it.
I'm delighted.
You are too?
Yes.
Personally?
Yes.
As an alderman also representing your ward, you think is a good thing?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Have you heard the same feedback that I've heard that restaurateurs actually want this?
I've not heard any complaints from restaurateurs. I've heard some complaints from some constituents. But, this is about saving lives.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's not only restaurants, it's health clubs and other businesses. I mean, New York has been doing this for quite a while. Some restaurants have gotten together and said, let's wait another 2 weeks. After the third, my question is, why did we even wait this long?
Every city does it differently. I know Dr. Arity, we're extraordinarily lucky. She's the commissioner for Department of Public Health.
And yes.
She once, worked in Africa to address epidemics.
Yes.
And so here she is. She's helping to call the shots. And she looks at four factors to ascertain what type of protocols we should use. We look at the number of people who test positive for COVID, the number of people who are admitted to hospitals, the number of people who are in intensive care units, and the number of people who have died. And we look at, we get daily reports, she does, and the mayor. And she looks at those reports, and those reports guide her into what are some of the appropriate interventions. And, the last pandemic was 1917. So we've learned a lot, and we're still learning a lot. So she's done an incredible job. And some people wish she'd do more, and some people wish she'd do less. She is really driven by science, so I do trust her.
Yeah, well, we have a superstar there. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And we do in you. Thank you very much for saying Steve Dale Day. It ought to be a day.
Thank you. I mean, the city of Chicago is honored to have you as a citizen. Absolutely. We are. Because you have a message that all of us need to hear.
Thank you. Alderman James Kappelman, thank you very much to you and your husband, Richard. Have a great new year.
Thank you, Steve.